Let's pray, Father. We thank you for your promises. Thank you, Father, for the cries of our hearts. Lord, it is our desire to give you more real estate in our life. Lord, to yield on a daily basis more of ourselves to you. Now, Father, we just pray, God, that everything that was done and said was honorable in your sight. We thank you, God, for the ministry of music and the friendship and the sweet fellowship that we have with one another. And now, Lord, as we go to your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit give us insight, that your Holy Spirit allow us to see and reveal to us that what we need for our life, our own lives. Father, we thank you. May these moments that we have, Lord, be maximized by your power. Lord, we yield to you. We ask, Lord, that you remove all of the distractions of our hearts and our minds. God, that we may hear clearly from you today. We thank you. We honor you. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just before we get into word, to God's word, I want to again remind you that this afternoon at 6 p.m., our men's ministry will be having a very special men's leadership discussion. And we will have with us the Honorable Michael Pintar. We are going to discuss issues that are important to us as men in the city. And so we want you all to take advantage of the opportunity. We are not going to argue anything, but we are going to inform ourselves and educate ourselves with what has been going on, what will be happening, and then what we need to do with that information. And so please do not take for granted this opportunity that we have. And so we are inviting all of the men at 6 p.m. Refreshments will be served. And we expect an awesome time where we will walk out of this place equipped to do what God wants us to do. Also, we want to encourage you to continue to pray for Elder Gordon. I spoke to him this morning, and continue to pray for him and Sister Pearl, who is here, as they recover. We know that God is able, and so we want you to continue to pray for them. Also, we want to thank you and continue to pray for our Deacon Eddie. He's here, and he's recovering. He is scheduled to leave sometime by the end of the month to begin his rehabilitation. And so continue to pray and support he and Sister Renee as he gets back on his feet, literally. Because we know that God is indeed able. Also, this coming Friday, we know what's starting? I guess you didn't know. Okay. We are starting our 21-day fast and prayer. And so here's what we want to encourage you to do. First of all, hold on. Friday we're fasting, right? Saturday, well, it starts midnight. With midnight Friday, we start our 21-day Daniel fast, where we are going to commit to prayer and fasting for 21 days, and it ends Good Friday. And so we want to encourage you to take this faith journey. It's going to be a stretch, but sometimes we need a little stretching. It's going to be tough, but sometimes we need some things. We need to push ourselves just a little bit more. But it's a spiritual exercise, not a diet. It's a spiritual exercise. But if you want to be a part of this journey, we're going to ask that at the end of the service that you sign up in the foyer. Leave your contact information. We have a fasting and prayer guide that we want to get to you so that you can begin to pray. So we can begin to pray together for some things. We have daily prayer focuses. You can get that either to your phone electronically, by email or on your phone, so that as we start Saturday morning, we will begin to be praying for the same things, and so that we can see God at work in our lives. Amen? Amen. Also, this coming Wednesday, we start our community groups, and you are welcome. Of course, it's right here. I think the first one is right here in the service. And so, if you don't know anything about small groups, just come out on Wednesday. We're going to start the first session. We're going to have a good discussion. We're going to have some good food, and you'll be able to find a group that's within your rhythm of life. Now, just to let you know, we have a few groups. We have men's group, females group, single mothers group, Zumba groups, marriage groups, mixed groups, young adult groups. We have it's like a menu. And so you can take your pick for this session. We believe that it's going to be fruitful because we believe that we do not grow in rows. We grow in circles. And so let's get out of the rows. Let's get into some circles. Let's have some fellowship and let's share in what God is doing in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Great. Well, let's go to God's Word. The book of Habakkuk. I know, it's in there somewhere. The book of Habakkuk. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about becoming a mature follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Growing deeper in our faith. And the reason why we challenge ourselves to grow deep in our faith is because we believe that when we are closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and we mature in our faith, it adds value to our lives. We believe that we become better equipped to make an impact in our homes and our communities when we walk closely with Christ. When we look at the disciples and how their lives were totally transformed, I am convinced that information didn't transform their lives radically. That what transformed these guys from being men who were just focused on themselves and focused on their own livelihood to being a radical follower of the Lord Jesus Christ was that they had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the call to discipleship is an invitation for you and I to experience Jesus in a way that we've never experienced him before. In a way that would so radically transform our lives that the people in our lives would be touched by what God is doing in us and through us. And so this morning, I want us to look at the book of Habakkuk because undoubtedly 2020 has been busy. If you are a Protestant in this room today, you know that a lot has been going on in 2020. A lot of things going on around us. But this morning we're going to eavesdrop on a conversation between a prophet and his God and the God in which he served on an issue that was concerning to him. You see, Habakkuk had a lot going on around him as well. And he had some questions for God, and God had some answers for him. And some of the questions that Habakkuk had, I believe that we also have in 2020. Now, you know what's going on around us, and it seems as if from January there were rumors of World War III, and now we're in March, and we have a virus, a pandemic, all over the place. And the world is taking note. People are having to adjust their lives because of what is going on around them. Even Bahamians. And so you know when Bahamians are rattled, this is serious things. Everywhere you turn, you hear about the pandemic, the coronavirus, and our senses are heightened. You know, I was in Nassau yesterday, or a few days ago, for the last few days. And I was watching the television, and on every channel, there was this topic about the virus. And I got so upset, I can't take anymore. I can't watch anything. When they canceled the NBA, that was it for me. I knew it got real. But I just didn't want to deal with it anymore. And I went into the bathroom of where I was staying in the Airbnb. And I looked in the bathroom, and this is how messed up I was. The toilet, the brand of the toilet, and I'm not joking, was a Corona brand toilet. No kidding. I was trying to get away from it, and I went into the bathroom to see if it was the only safe area. And the basin was a Corona brand. The toilet was a Corona brand, and I just said, this thing is just all up. I thought I was hallucinating. Until Pastor Marvin came up and said, did you see that? But people are impacted by what's going on. Many people have lost their lives. Many people have lost their loved ones. Many people are losing their livelihoods. For most people, for a lot of people, the greatest fear is not whether or not they're going to get sick, but whether or not they'll have a job the next day. The New York Times wrote an article on Friday, and they reported that over $1 trillion disappeared from the stock market, which meant that people lost combined over $1 trillion in investments because of what was going on. Many positions have been made redundant. People have been sent home in different countries, and they are fearful not about getting sick, but whether or not they're going to be able to continue in the quality of life that they were in. But what do you do when everything around you and circumstances around you are falling apart? Habakkuk, the prophet, is known as a minor prophet in biblical history, meaning that he was not one of the more famous prophets, but he was a prophet nonetheless. And he was a prophet not like some of the prophets we have today, you know, where you can just proclaim something in the name of God and it happens and you create it. Habakkuk was the type of prophet that only communicated on behalf of God. When God told him something, he had the privilege and the responsibility to take what God said to the nation of people and let them know how God was feeling about certain things and what God would actually do. And so he was simplistic in his office of the prophet. But Habakkuk was born in a time that was really stressful. Habakkuk was born in a time when God's people, who should have been the head, was now the tail. He was born in a time when the Hebrew people were under siege by the Assyrians, which meant that they were under foreign rule. And what vexed Habakkuk the most was that they were under siege as a punishment because of their idolatry. You see, what happened with God's people was eventually they got tired of God. They wanted to do something a little new. They needed to live something new in their life. And they decided to worship other gods. And God said, okay, if you want to worship other gods, well, let me put a 10, 25-year, 50, 100-year oppression on you to see if you can snap out of it. And so Habakkuk was born in a time when the Assyrians were governing God's people. And what vexed him was that they were being oppressed because his neighbor refused to straighten up. It was almost as if the innocent was suffering for the guilty. And Habakkuk wanted to know, listen, God, instead of punishing all of us, why don't you just punish the people that are doing bad? And so Habakkuk had a series of questions for God on how we should live when things around us are falling apart. And the central verse of this book, we're going to survey, is found in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, where God answers it in principle. When asked, how should we live on the inside? What should be going on the inside of us when the outside of us is crumbling? How should we live? Well, God says to Habakkuk this: see, the enemy is puffed up, his desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by what? Faith. The King James says, for the just shall walk by faith. So God said to Habakkuk, when things are going bad around you, my expectation of those who have cultivated a relationship with me, who want to be preserved, is my expectation that you live by my faithfulness. That we walk by faith and not by sight. Is that sometimes the thing we need the most is right under our noses. Sometimes the thing that would bring the most value to our lives has been put right, deposited right in our lives. And the thing that we need, the most precious thing that we need in these turbulent and turbulent and tribulation times is faith. The most precious jewel in the disciple's life is his or her faith in the Heavenly Father. Now, whether or not we come to recognize it or not, doesn't matter. But nonetheless, in the book of Habakkuk, God says to Habakkuk, brother, when things are falling down around you, if you want to live, if you want to thrive, if you want to survive, then you must walk by faith and not by sight. And so this morning, very quickly, we want to look into what faith says to us when things are going bad. You see, the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is also a miner. We're also supposed to be cultivating and mining a rich faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the stronger our faith, the stronger our witness. The stronger our faith, the stronger our testimony. The stronger our faith, the stronger our resolve. And so I want to share with you maybe three things that if you mine your faith or cultivate your faith in the midst of challenging circumstances, then you will get these three lessons from Habakkuk's story. But first, I want us to look at verse 1, verse 2, in Habakkuk chapter 1. Here's what Habakkuk said as he was living in the midst of this messed up situation. Verse 2, he says, how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you make me tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abound. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Habakkuk had a problem with the situation. Habakkuk said, what I don't understand, God, is that I'm supposed to be the recipient of all kinds of promises. My life is supposed to be wealthy and I'm supposed to be excited about serving you, but here I am, God. And when I look around, all I see is injustice. The only thing I see is fear and trepidation. And so, when we look at Habakkuk's story, when we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we cultivate it, even though we are concerned and even though we feel like God is not there, if we cultivate mind and rich faith, then our faith will speak to our circumstances. And deep in the midst of our soul, no matter what is going on around us, faith will say this: don't fear, God hears. Habakkuk wondered whether or not God still listened. He looked at the circumstances, and based on what he could see, he came to the conclusion that God probably is not involved, that God probably isn't hearing. But when we get to verse 5, we realize that God hears him very clearly. And so sometimes, even as we evaluate what we're going through in life, maybe you are at a point where you've been praying for years for God to intervene. Praying for years for God to do something in your life, in your health, in your finances, in your marriage, or whatever. And it seems as if God is not listening. If you cultivate a rich faith, I promise you, when you fall on those times and you think that God is not listening, your faith will say, don't fail. God still hears. Because in verse 5, God answers him. And one of the things I want us to understand is that silence doesn't always mean absence when it comes to God. Silence does not always mean that God is absent in our life. You see, we think like human beings. You see, I have a son that when he gets ready, he ignores me. That if I say eat it, and he doesn't feel like moving or responding, he pretends as if he doesn't hear me. And we know how that makes us feel. We don't like to be ignored. And the more agitated I get with him ignoring me, the more I want to take away some privileges. But God is not like that. God hears your cry. He hears your petition. He hears the cries of our hearts. He promises that he will always turn his ear to the cries of his people. And so no matter what is going on around us, what's going on inside of us should say that God is still present in every situation. Habakkuk struggled with that. But God answered him. And here's what God said. So Habakkuk said, God, are you there? Are you listening? All kind of bad things are happening. I can't save money. I can't walk the streets. I can't find justice. And here's what God says. In verse 5. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. Be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days. Wait a minute, God, hold on. You don't understand, like, the stock market is crashing. I'm losing my job. I'm losing my health. You cannot be involved, as you say. But God says, relax. I am going to do something in your days that you will not believe, even if you were told. When we mine our faith, when we cultivate a rich faith in our Heavenly Father, when things are going bad around us, the faith on the inside of us will say to us, don't trace God, trust God. Don't trace him, trust him. You see, because sometimes when we see nothing, God is up to something. Habakkuk couldn't come to grips with the fact that God was doing something. And here's what God was doing. God said to Habakkuk, okay, I know what your issue is. Your issue is that you believe that I should step in and deliver you from the Assyrians. But I'm going to do something else. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take the Babylonians, who are stronger than the Assyrians, and I'm going to move them in so that they will move the Assyrians. But y'all are going to still be under punishment because y'all have not turned your heart towards me as yet. And so Habakkuk had a problem with that. Habakkuk had a real problem with that. In verse 13 of chapter 2, or chapter 1, Habakkuk says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You can't tolerate wrong. You're not supposed to be using bad people to do your will. And God says, my ways aren't your ways, bro. I don't think like you. We're not on the same wavelength. You see, you have this limited view. I have an ultimate, unlimited view. You see, I am doing something that even if I tell you, you wouldn't believe. What if all of the rumors you heard about World War III, all of the fact that the coronavirus is spreading all over the world, what if God is still up to something? What if God is using bad things to do something great? Our eyes will tell us he's not. Our ears will tell us he's not. But our faith will tell us that he is. Our faith will tell us that he is. God is up to something, brothers and sisters. And for those of us that cling to him as our Heavenly Father, it is important for us to cultivate a kind of faith in our life that will allow us to trust him when we can't trace him. You ever had to play the blind game in Sunday school, where you would have to put on a blindfold and it would spin you around and you would have to navigate your way to a particular thing, but you had to listen to one person? But the whole in the room, there's a whole lot of people trying to distract you and make you go here and there. You know, life is like that. That when it comes to these situations that we don't understand, There have been the pressures on and things are falling on around us. There are voices in our life that will tell us to do this and to do that and to go this way and to go that way. And unless we can discern God's voice in the midst of the nonsense, we're going to be in problems. But as we cultivate a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're able to hear his voice in the midst of the chaos. That's the privilege that comes with being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the privilege that comes with all of the days of praying alone. That's the privilege that comes from studying Scripture. That's the privilege that comes from applying God's Word to our life. That's the privilege that comes with turning down sin to do what God wants. That's the strength that's developed and cultivated when we do God's work. That's something that we can't buy. You know, I can't come down and lay hands on you and tell you, but you transfer my belief to you. You can't take my faith and my trust on yourself. You know, you have to cultivate that on your own. You can't live off your parents' faith. Yeah, they pray long and hard for you. They keep your name before the throne day and night, but there's going to come a time in your life that you have your own faith. You're going to have to walk your own road. Yes. You're going to have to make your own choices. Habakkuk experienced that. And so as we mine our faith, we cultivate a rich faith. When things are going on around us, the faith that we cultivate on the inside of us tells us to don't fear God hears, to don't trace God, trust God. Third, to don't waver. Just wait. Don't waver. In chapter 2, here's what Habakkuk says. Verse 1. For I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to his complaint. Then the Lord said to Habakkuk, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets. So that a herald may run with it. Verse 3. For the revelation awakes a what? An appointed what? An appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it what? Next word what? Wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay. He says, don't watch the clock. If you put your eye, when it comes to the things of God, if you watch the clock, you're going to be frustrated. Don't watch the clock. He says, brothers, just wait. Don't waver. You see, there's some things going on behind the scenes that you don't know of, that I need to put in place first. But if I, listen, God doesn't work on our time. This is settling that. But don't wait. Don't waver. Just wait. He says this, though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay. And so that means for us that delayed doesn't always mean what? Deny. You see, unless we cultivate a rich faith, we will never experience that. We can quote that. We can sing that. We can put it on a bumper sticker, but we'll never experience the joy that comes and the security that comes with waiting on the Lord. And so I don't know what is going on in your mind and in your heart and in your life. I don't know what chaos is going on around you, but I do know that there's something rich that should be going on the inside of you. That is the cultivation of faith. Habakkuk saw this and was troubled. And so once he got word that God was going to use the Babylonians to come in and ransack everything, Habakkuk ended with something that I want to end with today. In chapter 3, starting in verse 16, here's what the prophet Habakkuk said. He says, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound, and decay crept into my bones, which means that he's scared. Because the Babylonians were worse than the Assyrians. But God says that he's using the Babylonians to do his will, but he's still scared, and it's okay to be scared. You would be scared too if you didn't look so holy. He said, my heart pounded at the thought that some barbaric people are going to come and take over. He said, my lips quivered at the sound, and decay crept into my bones. And my legs trembled, paralyzed by fear. And for some people, you know, we're not concerned about Babylonians, but the Babylonians in our life may be sickness. The Babylonians in our life may be a habit. The Babylonians in our life may be the impending doom of our relationships and family. It may be the fact that our finances are dwindling away. It may be the fact that we don't know what's going to happen beyond next week. The Babylonians in our life are staring us in the face. And you are here today just like me. My heart is pounding. Your lips are quivering. Decay is creeping into your bones. And your legs are trembling. And yet, here's what Habakkuk said. Yet, I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nations invading us. That's deep. You know what Habakkuk was doing here? He was saying, okay, God, you want me to wait? I'll wait. Then in verse 17, he says, though the fig tree does not bud, meaning that I don't see any oak, and there are no grapes on the vines, and not even any food. Even nature seems to be abandoning us. Though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food. Although there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, that it looks bleak. Listen, let me translate that. Go back. Let me translate that. You see how everybody looking for hand sanitizer? Sickness coming. And there's no hand sanitizer in the store. I go to CrossRite and there's no water on the shelf. I go to the lake to Miss Donna, there ain't no bread coming. I go to the gas station and there ain't no gas coming in. I'm a preacher and everybody's scared. Nobody coming to church. No tithes getting paid. Then he can't eat. It's not the truth, I guess. Is this trying to translate or is not trying to translate? But I'm a small business owner. And everybody's out of work. Which means that my time is coming. It looks bleak. I don't know what's going on. People are falling up. People are leaving. People are walking away. He says, no, there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. It's meaning that nobody, there isn't even a plan for the other side. Because if there's cattle in the barn and the stalls, at least there's going to come a day when you can kill that cattle and everybody's going to eat, but there's nothing on the horizon. You get no answers. Habakkuk said, this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like for us. Verse 18. Yet. Amen. Yet. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Now, before you clap, you cannot fake this. You cannot fake this. You can sing it. You can clap it. But find joy in your Savior comes from experiencing God in your own relationship with Him. He says, yet I will get pleasure, not happiness. He says, I will find joy. Happiness is circumstantial. It's momentary. It fleets. Joy is ever flowing. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful, listen to this, in God my Savior. This relationship. Can't fake it. Verse 19. The sovereign Lord. The sovereign. Habakkuk said, the sovereign Lord. Sovereign means always in control. Always involved. Always with a plan. Pulling every string that's there. Never taken by surprise. All powerful. Habakkuk said, the sovereign Lord, the one that knows the end from the beginning, the one that's writing the script, the one that will supply all of the needs according to riches and glory. He says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. Why? Because in the midst of impending danger, in the midst of a global crisis, in the midst of a fallen economy, in the midst of hopelessness, watch what the sovereign Lord does. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on height. In other words, he's saying, he makes my feet strong. The same trembling legs that Habakkuk talked about. He said that there's going to come a time when the sovereign Lord of the universe is going to give us the strength to stand. He's going to allow us to stand when they steep him. He said, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet. Will give me balance. Will give me strength. Will allow me to stand and tread upon heights. That was the experience of Habakkuk. That's what happens when you mine and you cultivate a rich faith. That's what should be going on the inside of us. But things are going bad on the outside of us. And it only happens if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you cultivate that and trust Him in every situation. That's it. No smoke, no mirrors, no fancy stuff.
No.
Simple faith. I want to invite you to stand. My brothers, as we prepare to walk out this room today, my only petition to you today is that if you have never placed your faith, your trust in the sovereign Lord, then today you take that opportunity. Do not walk out of this room without putting your faith in the one who is able to preserve you in hard times. And if there's one person in this room that want to respond to salvation today, I want to invite the elders and the pastors to come to the front. I want to invite you to take a step of faith. Allow God to be your peace. Allow God to take care of your soul. And so if you're here today and God has spoken to you about salvation, about putting faith in Him for the very first time, the altar is open. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. And God wants to honor your step of faith today. And so I want us to take a few seconds. Just think about where you are. Where are you? Father, for those in this room that are fearful, that are exhausted, that are tired, Father, I pray for those in this room, those of us in this room that are challenged, and like Habakkuk, we are uncertain about what lies ahead of us. Father, I pray that by your Spirit that you would draw them to yourself.
Father, I pray for those in this room, Lord, that have not put their faith in you. But Lord, that by your Spirit, you will draw them. Father, we know that you draw people. And Father, your word says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that he is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead, Father, today we shall be saved. That those who put their faith in God will never be put to shame. Father, thank you for the decisions being made. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would cover us under the shadow of your wings. For Lord, you know what's going on in this world. You know where we are. You know who we are. And Father, we pray that no matter what happens, we would be able to say, as Habakkuk said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord God my Savior, who will make my feet like hinds' feet and make us tread upon the heights. Father, give us the confidence and the courage